Come on, man. Bob Marley, huh? One Love. Jason going with a deep cut. Not a classic cut, a deep cut. On this Friday, 10:07. I want to share an email to wrap up on the topic of, if you're just joining us, in the last hour, we spent the entire hour talking about Todd Starnes of Fox News got his hands on a 600-page manual that equal opportunity officers are trained with in the military to deal with all branches of the military. It reads like the Black Panther Manifesto. It's amazing that racism is everywhere, anywhere, from everyone. Every little phrase is a code for racist denial and whites. It's amazing. Mike writes, Jerry, I'm a retired Army officer. I saw this going on in the early 90s. When I was a senior engineering major at Marquette University, we put in our selection wish lists for post-graduation. I was on a 3-year full-ride Army scholarship, had decent grades, and was involved in the right mix of extracurriculars. Normally, this was a lock for an active duty posting, but due to the drawdown going on, I ended up in the reserves. No regrets in hindsight, but was crushed at the time. The next step was going to be Officer Basic Course. It was a 4-month-long course for all officers of your branch to include reserves, National Guard, active duty. I was young and naive and believed in the merit system. What I found after living with and going to class with 30 other officers was that if you were black or Hispanic or female, you trended more toward being active duty than guard or reserves. Over time, our internal test scores and competition had separated us out into a bell curve. Bottom line was that, in my opinion, skin color and gender mattered more in getting an active duty position than your test scores, fitness level, peer evaluations, and instructor evaluations. Over the years, this opinion became more and more hardened, but to speak up about it was promotion suicide. It was only whispered about between like-minded officers and NCOs. Mike. According to the military's current training, Mike is a flaming racist. If you don't recognize that those minorities need that advantage, it's not a level playing field. They say, we know that because level playing field is a buzzword for racist denial, according to the training. It's an uneven playing field. It's not level. It's lopsided toward white privilege, which is why Mike had to go through what he had to go through. But there's a reason. Now you can see why those things are whispered, because you will be labeled, branded, if you do otherwise. Have an update on a story out of Wausau, and it's a pretty big one. I consider this a pretty big update. Do you remember the whole controversy over religious music rules in the Wausau School District? One of the things that happened there is the director, Phil Book, of the Master Singers was, Phil Book was basically, it was believed that he disbanded the group because he said they couldn't perform the songs, that he just, couldn't happen. This was reported as an overreaction on his part and so on. It's now being reported that wasn't his idea and he was told to do so. So the plot both thickens and sickens in Wausau. The Daily Herald Media reporting. Wausau West High School choir director at the center of a political storm over religious music rules said he had been directed to suspend practices for the popular Master Singers group, a contradiction of earlier reports that he made the decision himself. That group, which later was allowed to resume practices, also will perform the same group of songs that had been flagged as being too religious for a public school-sanctioned concert, said Phil Book, director of West Master Singers. Book revealed both details Thursday during an interview with Daily Herald Media. his first public comments since the controversy erupted, and led the school board to conduct a public hearing and hire an investigator to look into the matter. Attorney Frank Sutherland, who had been hired by the Wausau School District, determined during a music review meeting October 3rd that Book's proposed repertoire was inappropriate. Book said he was told by the district's fine arts coordinator, Marie Northup, to suspend practices of the Master Singers Choir because the repertoire had not been approved at the same meeting. In news reports, including those of Daily Herald Media, Book had been portrayed as making the decision to put Master Singers practice on hiatus. "I only followed the directive I was given," Book said. "I've been portrayed as putting kids in the middle, and that hurts. My students know, but the community at large doesn't know." Book said at first he hadn't been able to clarify the issue with news outlets because of the incendiary nature of the political storm that rose around the issue, and also because of negotiations regarding the Master Singers repertoire were ongoing. And not surprisingly, he says support's been very strong from the community. The paper over there, this paper, the Daily Herald, has suggested the investigation wasn't necessary. It's absolutely necessary. And by the way, there are those of us in the media still looking into this as well. Clearly, somebody panicked. The question is why? Why suddenly did the superintendent over there feel that the district was in legal danger when there had apparently been no complaints? Why? The investigation is needed by the school board, or the one commissioned by the school board, and by us in the media. And those do continue. On this show, we refer to something which I actually, well, I didn't steal because I give him credit every time. It is comedian and impersonator Frank Caliendo from Where I Got Truth Tourette's, where you blurt things out and not realize, oh, yeah, well, that's the truth. Kind of like, here's an example, and an emailer pointed this out yesterday, that Bill Maher has liberal truth Tourette's when he admitted that the president had no choice but to lie about Obamacare, because if he didn't lie about Obamacare, it certainly never would have gotten passed, ever. The Sheboygan Press has an editorial today about the move by Republicans to peel back, if you will, the process for determining whether Native American mascot is offensive. I'm going to read this to you. "Just when pressure is mounting on Washington's NFL team to change its deplorable Redskins nickname, our state legislature wants to take Wisconsin backward. Critics of political correctness argue the language police have no business meddling in sentiment and tradition. The reason that teams use Indian names and logos because of Native American qualities such as bravery, strength, and nobility. Yet, President Obama suggested that if he owned that pro football team, he would consider changing the nickname. The league commissioner stated that even if one person is offended, officials should look at the issue. As syndicated columnist Charles Krautheimer argued October 18th, words evolve. While Martin Luther King used the term Negro 15 times in his I Have a Dream speech today, that term is considered patronizing and demeaning. In decent, polite company, you wouldn't say Congress has 44 Negroes, nor would you state it has two Redskins. Wisconsinites thought they settled the controversy over using Indian nicknames when then-Governor Jim Doyle signed legislation in 2010. It gives the State Department of Public Instruction authority to force schools to drop race-based nicknames, logos, and mascots if a complaint is filed and the agency finds the names or images discriminatory. The DPI ordered Maquoneco to drop its Indian nickname and war bonnet logo, but the district is resisting and seeking help of State Representative Steve Nass, LaGrange Republican. Nass has authored legislation to revert to local control. In a column in Saturday's Gazette, he also noted that federal law protects students from discrimination. Nass's legislation has passed the Assembly, and the Senate plans to take it up next month. This is actually, I'm not sure where this is from, but it appears at the Sheboygan Press website. You can't tell these days. This is actually an others' view. This, I think, is from the Green Bay Press Gazette, now that I read this. NASA's legislation has passed the Assembly and the Senate and plans to take it up next month. It would require a complainant to prove discrimination and submit signatures equal to 10% of the district student population. That's too high a number. As the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports, only a few people requested that Maquoketa change its nickname. Why would they step forward? Indian families have been subjected to threats and violence after asking school boards to change names on mascots. Okay, I'm not sure where they got this, but it appears at the Sheboygan Press website. Now, here's the lie here, the truth, Tourette's, that there was nothing fair about the existing rules, about the existing law that Democrats passed in 2010. There was nothing fair about it. It was a ban on Native American mascots. Here's what this editorial gives up. That was a ban. It was masqueraded as a fair process where the school district could defend itself. That was never going to happen. This is a fair process. And by the way, this doesn't end a process where you can challenge a Native American mascot. If you read this editorial, you would think that's the case. It doesn't. You can still challenge a Native American mascot. But not just one person can walk in and complain about it. It takes 10% of the student population. Why is that too high? Why is that too high? In my hometown, I think there are about 500 kids K through 12 now. You would have to find 50 people who had a problem if Coleman had a Native American mascot. It doesn't. They are the Cougars. Okay, if you can't find 50 people, if you can't find that in a school population of 500 and in a town of about 800, in fact, the school district goes beyond the borders of the village of Coleman. If you couldn't find that, then how big a problem is this? One person. And here's what's entirely left out of this. The burden of proof, or is half of the story is left out, the burden of proof is currently on the accused, the school district. This puts the burden of proof on the accuser. All it does is create a fair process to challenge these. You can still challenge them. It's 10:19.
Jerry Bader Show.